This is the word of the Lord. And the heading is the invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely, you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not even know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. May God add blessing and meaning to the reading of this, his holy word. You may be seated. So, in his book, Outlive Your Life, Max Lucado, the great theologian, writes these words. Long before the church had pulpits and baptistries, she had kitchens and dinner tables. Even a casual reading of the New Testament unveils the house as the primary tool of the church. The primary gathering place of the church was, well, the home, and has been for decades. Consider the genius of God's plan. Max goes on to say, the first generation of Christians were a tinderbox of contrasting cultural backgrounds. At least 15 different nationalities heard Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, for example. And during that time, Jews stood next to Gentiles, men worshiped with women, slaves and masters alike sought after Christ, no questions asked. Max then raises the question, can people of such varied backgrounds get along with each other? Can a Christian family be so mixed and yet so close? He goes on to say, we wonder the same thing today. Can Hispanics live in peace with Anglos? Can Democrats find common ground with Republicans? Can a Christian family carry on a civil friendship with the Muslim couple down the street? Can different people get along? Period. Max concludes, the early church did so, and without the aid of sanctuaries, church buildings, clergy, or seminaries, they did so through the clearest of messages, the cross of Christ, and the simplest of tools, the home of love. We as brethren celebrate our diversity, friends, as we do our best to get along with all people as we follow Jesus peacefully, simply, together, continuing his work. So Isaiah's call from God for all people to come to the table should not be a new one for us brethren or for us Christians either. But instead it should be a continually refreshing one. We all need a reminder. I can't help thinking its relevance is needed more than ever today. In a time when we may be encouraged to not be as close to one another physically, we can still enjoy inviting everyone to the Lord. Come one, come all. That's the call from Isaiah in my mind this morning that we're considering. In our effort at Black Rock Church to become a congregation offering a deeper sense of hospitality, we struggle with the concepts of the guidelines we're placed under for sure due to COVID-19. But, we can use that struggle to consider other avenues, to say to friends, to strangers, to the poor, to those alone, to those we don't understand, come into our house, come into our hearts. And even if you and I don't say it, we can both show it. We can all show it. So how could we invite someone to come? Maybe it's by asking questions about their life, encouraging conversation. Maybe it's taking a vested interest in a struggle they've been having by taking them a meal, driving them to a doctor's appointment, or just saying, "I'll call you once a week." I know several of you have done that during this pandemic time, and what a blessing it is, I know, for those people you've called to hear from you. Thanks for doing that. Maybe inviting them to come is just writing a note when you know very well they don't really want to have conversation or talk on the phone. Some people just are not that way. It can go a long way for someone to know they're just appreciated, thought about, loved, and a pandemic doesn't change that. The need is still there. God's invitation, friends, rests with all of us on this, what would normally be a communion day. Come one, come all. When I used to ride on the Rabbit Transit bus, or now even when I'm with gatherings of all kinds of persons with or without perceived disabilities, but who equally have different questions about how they're going to survive emotionally or physically, I hear the pain quite often of them wondering, where in the world do I belong anymore? And that can be in young or in old. And God's invitation through Isaiah's words still remains, which I can offer someone in word and action. From God's heart to mine, come. And it can be for all of us. We all have that power to offer that invitation in word or simply in action. Come. So when you're with someone, do they hear God's call to come, or do they hear go away? I have the privilege of being with people who face death also, and families who are gathered around supporting them as they may be on the verge of death, reaching out to one another, many because they have a very different and difficult time dealing with the reality at play. But then some families really, I feel a peace from God. And I hear God's voice saying through the power of the Holy Spirit, either way, for all of us, the family and me as pastor alike, and the person we're talking to come. And I hear in the silence of this sanctuary, even if we're not able to worship like we normally might, we're still together in all sorts of ways. And even as we come to the table of grace and hands may not physically touch, our spirits still intertwine. And I pray we all hear and utter the Lord's simple invitation. Come, come one, come all. And out there in the world, dear friends, we are today's Israelites, Isaiah addresses. We are the people in Isaiah's time who must now, in this time anew, hear and answer the call of God in this confusing kingdom today, to be children of light, to reach out to the lost, to walk justly with our neighbors, to model a humility of Christ, to always lift our eyes to the King of heaven. He will give us what we need. But we must remember, all must be welcome at the table as we continue the work of Jesus, peacefully, simply, together on this hill and out in the world. We must open the table to our enemies, to difficult people, to the gangsters and the glorious ones, to the poor and prosperous ones, the lawless and the lovable ones, the defiant and desperate ones, as well as the bullies and beautiful ones. All people, friends, all personalities, all have the opportunity to come to the table. Come one, come all. I've even said quite often, I said to the deacons and I've said to others, all persons have the ability to be a minister in our understanding as brethren. So don't be surprised if I call on one of you out of the pews to say the sermon sometime. Don't worry, I won't today. Really, we all have a sermon. We are a sermon, a living sermon, by the way we live and act. And God reminds us through Isaiah's promise. That's the second part of our passage. He will make a covenant with us and with the Israelites, the same as he made with God's servant David. And that covenant of love and grace that he offers will shine through if we allow the doors to be open to all people. Remember what he says, you are witnesses to the peoples as God's servant, like David is. Even if others don't name God's love or recognize it, they'll at least want to experience it. They'll gravitate to it because you and I have it in our hearts and offered it to them. What does Isaiah say? As a result of the covenant of the promise of love, nations will come running to you. They'll want to be with you. You will summon even nations you know not. Truth is, friends, we may never know the people we affect or reach if we simply pass on the everlasting covenant God gives us. And that covenant is the promise of God's wonderful love, his ever-present, ever-flowing, endless stream of love, especially in this time of trouble. We can pass it along and never know we did it, just that we do it, just so long as that love's in us. That's what matters. God's love changes and reframes our understanding and the way others may understand and come to know not only us, but themselves. You ever thought about this? You might be the one to change someone's view of Christianity, of the church, of God in general. You might be the one, by your actions, so someone can think better about themselves. You might be the one that helps someone say, yeah, there's something special, something different about being a Christian, a follower of Jesus. There's something awesome about having a joy which never runs dry. There's something special about those people at that church, something I want to have. Oh, friends, if we hear God saying, come one, come all, and we embody that invitation to others through the everlasting promise of God's love to everyone, what a difference we will in the world and in the church make, and how much we will delight in the richest affair, as our passage says, of God. But in order to do that, we must listen, incline our ear to God, and truly hear him saying, come one, come all. And believe that ourselves. Now, one other thing about this. God's invitation to the exiled Israelites begins with physical necessities, right? Free and abundant for all. Water, wine, milk, bread. God asks the question, why do you spend your money for the bread and the stuff which doesn't satisfy? Eat what's good. Delight in what matters. Now, for the longest time when I read this passage, I thought, you know, now God's telling us through Isaiah we don't have to eat. Man, that would be a disaster. But God is saying, offer the things which matter. So if that's true, why wouldn't we want to know it for ourselves and then share God's invitation to all, offering the spiritual milk, the bread, the money, all we have for God's glory to our neighbors next door and around the world? You know, even if you don't offer a dime, we can offer money, right? We can offer riches to people, the riches of God. But it all begins by opening ourselves to the call of hospitality, the invitation from God through Isaiah, come one, come all. Then we'll truly feel endowed by that splendor, incredible splendor, God describes at the end of our passage through Isaiah. I'd like to close by returning to Max Lucado's writing from his book, Outlive Your Life. And I love at the end, he focuses on the reality for us to consider today. Not everyone can serve in a foreign land, lead a relief effort, or volunteer at the downtown soup kitchen. But who can't be hospitable? Do you have a front door, a table, chairs, bread and meat for sandwiches? Congratulations. You're qualified to serve in the most ancient of ministries, hospitality. Something holy happens around a dinner table that will never happen in a sanctuary. And I can attest to that with Max's claim. Something awesome happens around a table with family and friends. In a church service, you see the backs of heads. Around the table, you see and hear the expressions on people's faces and in their hearts. In the sanctuary, one person speaks. Around the table, everyone has a voice. Church services are on the clock, most of them anyway. Around the table, there's time to talk. Hospitality opens the door, friends, to unique, uncommon community. It's no accident hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word, for they both lead to the same result, healing. When you and I open our doors to someone, open our hearts to someone, we are sending this message. You matter to me, and you matter to God. You may think you are saying, come over for a visit, but what your guest hears is, I'm worth something. I'm worth the effort. I matter. So friends, today, as we come together to the table spiritually, I pray we hear God calling. Come one, come all. That's the best invitation of hospitality ever. That's an awesome way we can be the church, whether we're here or out there. Shall we pray? Lord, open us to your invitation to come one and come all. Grant us a strength and a peace which passes all understanding to seek you and find you. Make us servants, continuing the work of your Son Jesus, peacefully, simply together. And as we come and as we go, may we do so in the knowledge and grace of your Son Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the resurrection. Let everyone come to me. Amen. I would ask that you get in a comfortable place and close your eyes. And may we remember the words of Jesus as he invited us to come and share in the meal of communion. Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And if you know the invitation, would you say it with me that we brethren often say? The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. We reflect, Lord, on the goodness of the bread, the broken body of your Son, and all it means for us. Shall we reflect for a minute in silence? We also remember the invitation from Jesus who poured out the cup of wine, the bitter drink, who was given it on the cross, but who demonstrated in the upper room with his disciples that this is a drink offering, the new covenant in my blood poured out for you. All of you do this in remembrance of me. And then he said, "Whoever drinks this cup and eats this bread lives in me and I in them." Shall we state the affirmation again that we brethren often use for the cup? This cup, which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your blood poured out for us. Shall we reflect? Heavenly Father, in the symbols of the bread of the cup, we are reminded how powerful it is to hear your invitation to come one, to come all. Lord, we're moved to recall the disciples' work in the upper room. Your bond with them is amazing. We recall the power of the bread and the brokenness of your body and how much that changed the world. We recall the new covenant poured out for us through your blood that flowed down from the cross, and it staggers us with tears. Lord, help us remember the fount of every blessing you are to us. Help us remember to come one, come all to that fount. Every moment, every day, you offer so wonderfully and richly to us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you that you can open your eyes or you can leave them closed, whatever you'd like to do as we hear our song of blessing and sending for reflection today. spirit of God's blessing. May we remember all the blessings that flow through the bread and the cup, through Christ's broken body and blood, through Isaiah's call to all who are thirsty, without money, without price, all the poor, the young and the old, men and women, all, may we hear God saying, come one, come all. In Jesus' name we give thanks and praise. Amen.